Please be advised, today's episode is a sensitive subject and may provoke a strong emotional response. Please be aware of your surroundings as the topic is for a mature audience. The discussion today is difficult but necessary. Our discussion is about sex trafficking. Isaiah 49:16a, New Living Translation. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands.
The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome to Mama Take Heart, understanding your Gen Z girl. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle, and I'm here to help you be the gospel-centered, compassionate, and influential voice in your girl's life. Today, we're talking to Paul Yates, the executive director of the faith-based organization, nonprofit organization, I've Got a Name. Prior to entering into the nonprofit arena, Paul worked in the public and private sectors for 24 years. Then he spent 8 years in Nepal advocating freedom from sex trafficking. This journey changed everything. After leaving Nepal, he felt called to use his experience and commitment to help those vulnerable to or in bondage of sex trafficking where he lives in Nebraska. I've Got a Name is committed to eradicating sex trafficking locally, where we live. Paul's message for us is simple. Become aware, get involved, use your talents and gifts, take action, and become a life changer. Become the hope for those who see no hope in their future. Later in the podcast, we're going to hear Megan's story. She is a survivor who is now the street outreach director at I've Got a Name. Megan provides personal one-on-one help by using her past life experience, unconditional love, and freedom in Christ to emotionally support, connect girls and women to services, and point them toward a life they never imagined possible. Thanks for joining us today, Paul.
Well, thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. One thing I wanted to start with is to talk about how the organization I've Got a Name got started.
Sure. You know, it's really all about God stirring someone's heart and inspiring that person to take steps forward. And that's our founder, who first heard about the injustice of sex trafficking back in 2009 at a University of Nebraska event. And he was so taken by it, Rabrina, and he was searching for something else to do other than just his work. He drove home after hearing about this injustice of sex trafficking. And on the radio, there was a song called I've Got a Name by an old former musician, Jim Croce, back in the 70s. And he said he thought every one of these girls has a name and should be treated with love, respect, and dignity. And then he met me a few days later, and I was working with an organization overseas in Nepal. And that's how the journey began. And so it started as a song. He had an event at his church for a couple of years called I've Got a Name. And then he started a nonprofit in 2013 and really started supporting our work over in Nepal. And then he started looking here where I live, and he lives in Lincoln, Nebraska. And our eyes were just opened. We knew it was here, but not to the magnitude of it. And so inspiration, you know, God really inspired him. And he's got a great heart for this. It's a very sincere heart for this. And I love it, too, because a lot of what I do, I don't see men too engaged. And it's a man issue. And that's so cool to see, you know, Bob get involved like that and start this nonprofit. And believe me, he has a full-time and a half job himself. So, yeah, so that's how it started. And seed was planted, and he just turns to God, you know, all these years to direct us and lead us. And so that's why we're successful.
I appreciate that you said that it's a man issue, because the man issue is supply and demand. Yes. So as long as the men are in demanding it, then someone will find a way to supply it. Yeah, I appreciate
exactly.
That.
And I think And I think some people even say, well, you know, we focus on young women and girls, or women and girls. And mm-hmm. some people say, well, boys get trafficked too. Yes, they do. But our focus is on females. If we'd see a situation where a male was trafficked, certainly we get engaged. But and women sell too, and all that. But yeah, it is, you know, majority of it is men purchasing and selling. And you're exactly right. It's like a business model. It's sick to say selling a human being, but mm-hmm. yeah, their weakness and their lost so in sin, so dark into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They need repentance for sure.
Yeah. Well, for sure. Well, also I wanted to ask you about the statistics. I know we have the local statistics here in Nebraska or in Lincoln, and know that there's a report out also, the Polaris report, that talks about sex yep. trafficking nationwide, mm-hmm. Which I'll put a link to that in the show notes. But tell us about the local statistics here.
Yeah, I think in answering that question, I always look globally, because when I first involved this, 27 million people are in slavery. I'll mm-hmm. just be honest with you, I thought slavery was over. No, it's mm-hmm. far from over. And mm-hmm. I think it's 35 million estimated. Now, those estimates are always underestimated. It's such difficult research. And then you start, you know, coming down to the United States, you know, and you look at numbers there. And I was always frustrated because we'd always hear statistically about the number of girls and women being victimized by this injustice coming from other countries into the United States. Well, what about our own country?
Right.
You know, and so, yes, it's here. And then you start coming into good old Nebraska here in the middle of the country, and you start looking at it. So you're coming closer and closer to home. And then you realize in your own community that's there. And so that's why our logo says "End Sex Trafficking Where We Live," because we live all over, and we live in different places within our community, within our state, within our country. It is all around us. And so Creighton University, Polaris Project, they've done some great research. They're a great organization. But the University of Creighton University did some research on a website called Backpage back in 2016. So this is just a piece of the pie, not the whole pie, but a great study. And their research in Nebraska said that every 30 days, at least, and I underlined at least 900 individuals are for sale in the state multiple times. Okay. In the Lincoln area, and we're almost 300,000, 285,000 people. It's 200 individuals, at least 200 individuals. And remember, that's just from research from a website that's been taken down, thank goodness. But, you know, a lot of what we work with, they're not being sold online. You know, they're being more groomed individually and personally. But though that research was incredible for us to finally start saying, see, it is real. You know, the average cost, Rabrina, to mm-hmm. destroy a life in this state of Nebraska is $210 an hour. Mm. These are people with resources, mm-hmm. you know. And the average age for a young woman entering the commercial sex trade, depending what research is, 13, 14 years old. Mm. That's the average age, you know. And if you want to look at the other side of it into pornography, you know, young boys especially get involved. The average age is 9. So you look at all these things and it's just a train wreck, you know, what it does is it just starts breaking us down into this injustice. So, yeah. And, you know, I always want to say too, those are numbers, but no, we're not talking about numbers. We're talking about human beings. We're talking mm-hmm. about God's creation. You know, I know you by name, you are mine, you mm-hmm. know, But we would do all we could if there was just one person in Nebraska. You know, we'd do all we could. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's staggering. And you look across this country and it's not just in the big cities. It's not just along these interstates. Certainly it's trafficked through there totally. But it's in the rural communities too. People need mm-hmm. to understand that. They need to understand that it's in the rural communities. When you have a community of 125 people and there's a woman selling her 13-year-old daughter, well, that means there's buyers in that area too.
Right.
You know, so it's everywhere, Rabrina. It really is. That research was great in 2016, mm-hmm. us especially.
Well, one thing that you said just now was it's in person. But I just wanted to clarify that it can happen online also, because we know that it has happened not just through social media, but also through gaming apps where kids can get on and have online games with other people. and how I know I've talked about it in a previous podcast with another guest, and talked about how that a predator will pretend to be a kid and yep. then kind of pull them in.
Yep. It's all about grooming, you know, whether it's in person. Yes, that happens. But, you know, the internet and all that is great, but it's also frightening, and especially our cell phones that are little mini computers. You're right. I mean, the social media apps, some of these chat rooms, I even get a little nervous with some of these dating services. There's a lot of stuff out there about that, you know, that's going on. There's actually an app that you can actually subscribe to and have young women and girls send pictures of themselves to you, and they make money off it. It's dark, Rebecca. Yeah, and I just cannot emphasize enough for parents, especially if your child has a smartphone or is online on a computer, regularly check what they're into and what they're looking at. And it's not that you don't trust them, it's that you love them.
Yes.
But they are so vulnerable, and they don't realize it. They see it as fun and games, but they don't understand what's on that backside. It's frightening. It really is.
I also, in another previous episode, well, I'll put that in the show notes, where we talked about how to keep your kids safe as far as strategies that you can use and certain apps that you can get put on the phone to keep them safe. So
there are totally those apps. Yep.
Yes. Yep. So what are the signs to look for a person who may be getting trafficked?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a really difficult one to answer, because you have to be very careful. I need to point out, too, that in all the years I've been fighting this injustice since 2008, I need to make it clear that it has really nothing to do with your ethnic background. Certainly, there are certain ethnic backgrounds that are being targeted. Has really not a whole lot to do with poverty, although poverty can obviously put you more in vulnerable situations. This can be your daughter. You could live in that house with a white picket fence. Okay. And so when you, and what I mean by that is, oh, everything's great across the street, you know, but no, there's issues there. And I think some of the things you start looking at is, are they suddenly detached or isolated from their family and friends? You know, are they thinking of running away, like trying to escape? You see noticeable changes in their wardrobe, and maybe they don't have the income to pay for those things, you know, or some of their belongings. They start to appear anxious or paranoid, depressed. They avoid contact. They just want to be isolated. And then if they have anyone in their life, male or female, that's really kind of controlling them, controlling where they go, how they think, what they do. Those are some early signs to look for. I mean, I'm sorry. There's a situation in Lincoln where a mom thought her bruises on her daughter's body was from athletics, because she's very athletic, until she saw her image on her computer and her boyfriend was selling her. And I need to say, too, that most personal contacts, most of the victims, they know the perpetrator. They trust them. You know, so this is just some stranger, you know, all of a sudden, you know, taking advantage of you. This is somebody that's going to groom you, you know, and it's, yeah. But those are some of the things to look for. And I can also say, too, if you're concerned about someone, call law enforcement. You know, call law enforcement. Don't be law enforcement. Call law enforcement. There's a lot of things they can do now that they couldn't do years ago as far as checking into these situations. But you have to be careful, too, you know, people's respecting privacy. But I'd rather say safe than sorry, you know.
Yeah. I think that now law enforcement organizations, they actually have dedicated individuals that work on human trafficking type cases. I know some people are afraid to call law enforcement because they don't want their child to be taken away. Because some people are under the impression, oh, but then they'll take my kids away. But actually, they will help you. They want to help you. So that is something to keep in mind.
Yeah, I think, too, there's been a real shift in the last 5 years of understanding that, especially women in the life of prostitution, they're not criminals. They're the victims. The criminals are the buyers and the sellers. So, yeah, those people that may be afraid of, they'll take my child. No, no, no. They want to restore that family. They want to find the perpetrator. They want to find those people out there that are really the criminals, you know. So, that's a great point, Rubrina.
Yeah, and also, I'm just going to give the number, because there's a website, humantraffickinghotline.org. This is for national. And then the phone number is 373-7888. And I'll also put that in the show notes. Okay, so I want to talk about what people can do to help, ways to help. So our organization is nonprofit, and so we depend on donors. That's how we run. Yeah. And so what are ways to help? I've got a name, or other organizations as far as helping us keep this fight going.
Sure. You know, you can, of course, visit our website, ivegotaname.org. And learn more about what we do, our street outreach and everything we do. And first and foremost, we are faith-based nonprofit, and we'll take a prayer over a dollar any day. You know, this is a spiritual battle, but we do need resources, and we rely solely on donations from people, you know, and we need that support. The main thing is get involved. Don't be detached. Whatever organization, if there's one that you feel very close to, learn more about it, support them. Understand that I can't be our outreach director, but I can support her prayerfully and financially, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's really it. You know, I always say, if someone gave me $1 million, Rabrina, today, I mean, yeah, I could use it, but what can I do with it if people aren't involved, if people aren't engaged? It's not a money issue. Yes, we need the resources, but it's not, you know, it's a community issue. It's a spiritual issue. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why Christ is the center of all we do, you know, just plain and simple. Mm-hmm. You know, because this is a battle, a spiritual battle. So, yeah.
Well, Paul, this has been it was a great, informative, enlightening conversation. And I do appreciate you taking time out today to inform the readers about the signs, you know, what to look for and ways they can help. I've got a name. Or their local organization. So thanks, Paul. We'll appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Hey, and thank you, because without people like you, how would we get the word out, you know? And so I'm really thankful and bless you for all you're doing too, and those that listen too. Thank you.
Megan shares her story of survival and God's love, mercy, and grace.
I didn't feel like there was anybody in the world that was around that could help me through what I was going through. Nobody will believe me. I just felt broken and, you know, used and very numb. I think that people, when they think of trafficking, think of children or adults are thrown into a car and taken to a foreign country or somewhere, you know, out of the country and sold. It's not always like that. So my friend had introduced me to this woman, and at the time I was a single mother. I had a young child. I watched my mom fight a battle of cancer for years, and then she passed away, and I was having a hard time finding a job, and I just felt, you know, so alone. And when somebody comes along and says, you know, I can show you a better life, you can make all this money, and you can do all these things, and for somebody that is so vulnerable and lost and broken and desperate, you know, you find yourself willing to do almost anything. I remember for years and years wanting to get out of that situation. Every year I'd say one more year, one more year. It was like a vicious cycle. I had to continue to do the drugs so that I wouldn't feel what was going on. I needed somebody to come alongside me and show me that there's a different way to live, that somebody believed in me, somebody loved me, not a sick and perverted love. During that time, I had never thought about God. I had never prayed. Every once in a while, people would ask me something about God, and I just say, I don't want to talk about it. I mean, just think of all those years of doing that. I mean, my heart was hardened. Lost my boys to the Department of Health and Human Services, CPS, and they had put me in treatment. And I was so scared to go back out into the world. It was the day before I was to get out of treatment. I just laid on my bed and I started crying and crying and crying. And I said, God, if you're out there, if you are real, if you love me, if you love my boys, like, help me, help me. I don't want to walk out those doors the same way that I walked in. Of course, I didn't, you know, I didn't hear anything from him, but man, I know that he was there. I know that he heard me, every single word that I prayed. I know it because he has been walking with me ever since. You know, I got out of that situation. I started studying the Word, studying the Bible, like memorizing. I was going to church. I started connecting with women through the church. And I just started this relationship with God. And I have just seen him show up in my life so many times. Oh, he's so good. He's so good to me. I mean, my life was a disaster. It was a complete, complete mess. And it's my message today. It's what I am passionate about doing. It's what I wished for when I was in that somebody would come alongside me. Sex trafficking and human trafficking, it is here and it is real. I get to work directly one-on-one with the girls and women that are entangled or dealing with this tragedy in their life. The stories that I hear are really hard, and they're from women and girls right here in Lincoln, Nebraska. I've worked with a girl that has been, you know, trafficked since she was 2 by her father. I'm currently working with a young girl that's 10 years old that has been solicited on the internet. Some women work in the strip clubs and then get, you know, seduced or solicited by men. And a lot of them are really, really broken when I meet them. I'm able to relate to them and have empathy through what they're going through, just meeting them where they're at. Honestly, they're able to see hope in me, enlighten me, and when I share my story and where I'm at now, I could just see the walls coming down because I see God and all of the work that he's done with me and all the progress that he's made over these years. He has shown me that I am loved and I am worthy. I'm his daughter and he loves me. He loves me more than any other person in this world, man, woman, child, will ever love me. Ultimately, that's where I want these girls that I work with to be. And I want them to know that God's the way, like he is the only way. That's huge.
Mamas, I know this has been a difficult episode to hear. I appreciate you hanging in. As I've said before, the tough talks are to prepare, not to scare. Let's remember, we have a loving God who is our refuge in times of trouble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I lift up our mama listeners today, that you will walk alongside us, guide us, give us peace, wisdom, and discernment. Lift our children, Heavenly Father, to you as we ask that they will know you and how much you love them. We ask you to give them wisdom and discernment too, and to put your protective shield upon them. May we shine the light of Jesus in dark places. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, amen. I've listed links to the Human Trafficking Hotline. I've got a name website and Facebook page, the Polaris Project website, and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Remember, God is for you and you're not alone. With his spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
Have you ever attempted to read the entire Bible? Did you do it, or did you only make it part way? I'm John Stonge, and I host a podcast that will make it possible for you to make it through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. I've been hosting the Chapter a Day audio Bible podcast since 2015, and every single day of the week, I read one chapter of Scripture, then follow that up with a time of prayer. And if you're looking for daily insights and inspiration directly from God's Word, I hope you'll give the Chapter a Day audio Bible a listen. You can find it at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.